Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
We have got Warda Hartley in here, and we have got Mary Lou. But are you Snapchatting, Mary? Let me get everyone's mics on. Everyone's mics on?
Yeah.
Hello.
No, not mine. Is mine on?
Is mine on?
I can't hear myself.
Oh, I also can't hear myself.
My apologies.
Yes. Hello.
Blogger Diaries. I'm very excited to be doing this. This is my first ever Blogger Diaries, right?
Yeah.
Is it tough being a blogger? How's the blogger life? You guys don't look stressed out. I'll tell you that now.
I think makeup does wonders.
Okay, well, the thing is about blogging is that we're not just bloggers.
Yeah.
We actually have other things going on. You know, and actually, I actually feel a little bit offended sometimes when someone just calls me as a blogger.
Is it?
Because I'm just like, I'm so much more than just a blogger guy.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, there's still that stigma attached to blogging. Like, oh, eye roll, you're a blogger. Like, in other words, you don't really have a real job.
Yeah. But it's not just that. They see all bloggers as like, you know, I mean, like, you just run a website. Yeah, basically.
You're fucking freeloader.
Yeah.
That's what people think when they think of bloggers, you know? So.
Because we're so desperate.
Yeah, we're so desperate for free shit. So that's why we blog. But that's
not us. We're not about that life. Me and Warda are not about that life.
Yeah, and that's why we've spearheaded this with Ari, this Blogger Diaries, because.
Because we ain't ratchet.
Yeah. We want to unearth the real work that goes, the hard yards that goes into setting up a profitable, legit blog, like the ones from overseas. Because, I mean, there are people, you know, running legit businesses purely on their blogs, getting major respect and having massive influence in the fashion industry, fitness industry, all kinds of industries you can think of. Because, I mean, there's literally bloggers in every possible sphere of blogging or industry you can think of. They are bloggers. So, I mean, Brian Boy, one of the pioneers of blogging, he's a fashion blogger. He had a Marc Jacobs bag named after him because he was that influential. Wow. So, I mean, that's a massive thing.
It's obviously tons of money to be made in blogging.
If you do it correctly. So, yeah.
And if you're overseas.
Yeah. So, for a change, we just thought this week we'll talk about our blogs because we always have people on and we always talk about their blogs. And enough about them, more about us this week.
Mm-hmm. So, and also, we're going to be talking about blogging etiquette.
Yeah.
What you should or shouldn't be doing as a blogger.
Yeah, for me, I mean, my blog is now reaching a year old. I can't believe it. This year went so quick. Like, the 4th of October, it'll be a year old.
This and is the FabuFit blog.
FabuFit.co.za, which is a fitness and wellness blog. And already, my web developer and I have realized that there are, like, things we can do better with the functionality of the blog and the way it's working for how the business and how the blog has evolved. And in order to generate more business, it can't stay in the current format that it's in. So it's very exciting.
I really like the way your blog is right now, though.
Yeah, but I'm already seeing like little things that's irritating me.
I know what you mean.
For example, I want the Instagram page to run on the side of the blog or like at the bottom, which is not happening right now because the current theme that I'm using, WordPress theme, doesn't allow for that.
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought those are just widgets that you can add.
Yes, it is, but it doesn't. But I also want the big pictures. I want those big sliders.
So I see.
I can have it. Yeah. Easy. It's like adding a widget, but then my pictures are a lot smaller and I don't want that.
See. What are like the main websites to go create a blog? Say I wanted to go create a blog right now.
I think WordPress is the easiest thing.
No. I started off using Blogger, actually, like a couple of years ago when I started my blog. And then I started for a week and then someone recommended that I go on to WordPress because at that time a friend of mine was working in media. And she just said that it's better to change over now than change over later when you have just so much content and you can't actually move everything over that quickly. And the reason why she recommended WordPress is because WordPress is a lot... it's a lot malleable. Like, you can do a lot more with WordPress than with Blogger.
Like, user-friendly.
Well, actually, WordPress is not as user-friendly as Blogger. While I later discovered that when I started, you know, with WordPress after just establishing with Blogger. But then the thing about WordPress is that there's a lot more themes going on and you can actually edit and format your blog in many, many different ways compared to Blogger. But Blogger is a lot more user-friendly. Blogger is under Google, and I think WordPress is on its own.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And the nice thing also, what I like about WordPress is you can have a lot of like back-end plugins from other,
yes,
like Webfluential, you can plug it easily, yes, into WordPress.
Yeah.
So they can monitor your analytics and stuff, yeah, easier.
But
so
then it also has like its negatives. Like I heard you can't use Java in it.
Okay, I have no idea about the technicalities. Yeah, yeah. I don't code.
I will actually, yeah, you know what? We should actually get bring James on, my web developer, because, yeah, yeah, he can probably tell you stories. I mean, that man has the patience of a saint, the way I am, and like I get OCD.
I think you
kind of
need to have patience. We definitely need,
yeah, we need to get a developer in to like, yeah, tell us the other side of the story of, you know, because I mean, they put together the nuts and bolts. We're the creatives, and we're like, I want this on my blog. I want big pictures, and then I want this, and can, yeah, you add this? And then they're the ones who actually have to go and code and, yeah, make it happen.
They put
for
it to
you.
Life.
Yeah, so that's so it's a very important part of the business. So as I was saying, I'm looking to revamp the website, and you know, because I mean, you also listen to what your readers want and what they want to see, and mine wants to see more videos, so I'm gonna have to develop the YouTube channel more, so I'm gonna be in that space more, hopefully going further, going ahead more, because people want to see exercise videos and they want to actually see you doing the exercise, not just pictures of you doing it, they want to see you doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the same time, of course, you want to like extend your blog into other more profitable things like YouTube. You can monetize,
yes,
videos.
Yeah.
Instagram. Mm. You can start charging people for Instagramming,
yeah,
and brands
stuff,
and stuff.
Yeah. But like, I feel like with Instagram, I don't know, I've started to, I don't know, steer away from Instagram a little bit. Not purposely, though. It's just that I just feel like I have so many bloody platforms to keep up with that it gets a bit annoying. But I know Instagram is very much profitable, like compared to a lot of the other social platforms. Mm. Like if you're very successful on there, if you post regularly and if you have tons of followers and people really care about what you say. And what's with Instagram is that like, I feel like they don't only look at how many likes you get and followers you have, but it's also very important that people actually give you feedback and comment on your stuff.
Mm.
There's no point getting a like, but then no one actually gives you feedback on, I don't know, just small things. Like if you telling people about this new range of makeup that just came out, like are your followers commenting and saying, oh, I've tried this one color, or how is this color, or, you know, how do you do this? Where do you get it from? Like interactive, you know? So I feel like Instagram's great for that, but I don't know. I think
you can do the same thing like you do on your YouTube channel. People,
yes,
can comment on there.
Yes.
And I think brands value that when they see like somebody going, oh, Mary Lou's tried out this new lipstick, I'm going to go buy it. So they can see directly, like, that's your influence. You've literally made somebody buy
something.
And you
know the thing about Instagram is that, like, they started with this short video thing.
Mm.
So I feel like it actually links up with YouTube quite well. I haven't actually started playing around with it, but a lot of these YouTubers, like, with beauty, I don't know, that have beauty vlogs or travel vlogs or whatever. So what they do, they edit the video in a way to almost like fast forward
speed up the whole thing,
and they put it into like a, I think, is it 15 seconds on Instagram?
Well, now it's longer, hey?
No, I think they made it 30 seconds. Did they change it to a minute now?
Yeah, it's long.
Oh, no.
It's pretty long now.
I actually enjoyed that whole 10-15 second thing because it's almost like,
but I think then Snapchat came in and then they stole that idea, and then I think Instagram felt, well, if Snapchat's doing it, we need to do something different.
Yeah.
Like, even if we add on a few seconds.
Mm. Yeah. But I feel like, again, like, Instagram is more curated. Like, you plan this ahead. You go and you edit it purposely. You know, you make sure you have the best lighting, or you put all the important bits in there or whatever.
Mm.
But I think Snapchat is more live. I feel it's a little bit too bad that you can't really get proper credentials or, you know, and stuff like that on Snapchat. But otherwise, I think Snapchat is really good.
What do you mean by Snapchat, credentials?
Well,
like,
you
get
can't
verified.
Like places like Webfluential and organizations like them that run similar things where that you can monetize your platforms.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way for them to plug into and measure your Snapchat followers.
Yeah.
Because Snapchat doesn't have that functionality yet, but they are like working on getting that, because already there are bloggers who are making money off Snapchat, like Zanita.com. She actually just wrote something. We're going to try and get her for the show as well. She's an Australian blogger, but she travels the world. Like, Lord alone knows where she is. The only way you know where she is if you check her Snapchat. Mm. But she actually wrote an article about how to monetize your Snapchat. Because, I mean, you can show a business how many views you get on a Snapchat if you screen grab your back office thing. Then you can say, okay, I've got 13,000 looking at my Snapchat.
Yeah.
The only thing that you won't be able to tell them is, of that 13,000, so many are South Africans, so many are That's the only thing. But if they're not fussy about that, and they can kind of assume by your other followers, like, oh, okay, so she has mostly followers in Australia or London or whatever, so chances are these followers are more or less, or maybe they don't care. Maybe they're a global brand which they work with. They work with, like, top-end Dior, Gucci. They're the lucky ones. They work with, like, the top brands. So those are global brands. So they don't really care if you've got 100,000 views on your Snap and it's from all over the world. It works for them. Mm. You know, it's different for us if you working with brands that are very specific to South Africa and they want to hit the South African market. It's a bit of a gamble for them to pay for you to snap about something when they don't know if all your followers are actually from South Africa, because Snapchat can't give you that information.
I don't know if you've ever noticed, but on Snapchat, like, all the celebrities have sort of, I don't know if it's them being verified on Snapchat, but they'll have like a little icon next to their name. Like Paris Hilton has a peach next to her name. Like these weird...
Like
these
Kylie Jenner has a crown.
But they some of them have the weirdest things that have like nothing to do with the celebrity.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a verification thing.
No, man, I think it's just them putting little things.
Because I can't do that.
Can't you?
No.
Oh, you tried, Matt.
No, of course I tried.
Because I've looked at... Cause
you should put a little Pokemon there.
Because some of my friends have little faces next to theirs. I don't know if it's... I don't know how that works.
I'm sure if you type out your name and then you add, like, you know, the characters, like an emoji, then it's
no, right? I really think it's got a verification thing on it.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. But I like the way Snapchat is right now. I hope they don't...
They keep changing it.
Yeah, but it's small changes, it's improvements. Whereas, I mean, like Instagram, I would say that's a change. That's not a really improvement. Mm. I don't like the new Instagram at all. And I feel like Snapchat, I like the way it is right now. I like the fact that, I mean, think about the way Snapchat is. People are Snapchatting because they're enjoying. Mm. They enjoy it. They do enjoy filming themselves live and disappears in 24 hours or whatever. You know, it's funny.
I'm going to Snapchat
it's
right
spur
now.
Spur of the moment type of stuff. But then can you imagine once it becomes type of like a verification platform, just like Instagram or YouTube or whatever, can you imagine the type of snaps we'll be seeing then? Mm. It will be totally different to the kind of snaps we'll be seeing now.
Yeah, I think it's definitely evolving and it's getting more exciting. And I think it's based also on the needs of the people, the users. I mean, they have to listen to the users and see what the users want and what the users are asking for. Like, for example, you know that filter that everyone loves? They obviously saw everyone's snaps going like, I mean, literally everyone.
That sexy filter. I call it the sexy filter.
Yeah, it makes your face slender. Your face. It contours your face.
Yeah.
You can go find that.
You can ask, from Kim Kardashian to like me, little old me in South Africa, everyone was going, oh, snap, don't get rid of this filter. This filter's amazing. Yeah. And now it's a standard filter, they don't take it away because everybody loves that filter. So they are listening
to
their
consumers. It's like getting plastic surgery without having to get plastic surgery.
It's the perfect thing if you like want to do a snap early in the morning, you've got no makeup on.
And makes you look flawless.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, I'm flawless.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
If you're having a fat day, use that filter. Your face is so skinny. But let's talk about like the do's and don'ts. Like, we've had so many people on the show.
Let's get to
it. We thought, let's just sum up everything from all the people we've had on. I mean, we've had PR people. We've had top bloggers. We've had, influencers. We've had people from Webfluential who teach you how to monetize your blog. So let's just summarize everything up till now.
So the do's and don'ts of blogging.
So blogging etiquette.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to any of Blogger Diaries before, we're going to bring you up to speed with everything that you've missed.
Okay. Let's start with the do's and then let's break down the don'ts.
Okay. So do you want to do one each? One of your favorites? Yeah. Okay. You can start.
Do have excellent pictures. Don't ever compromise on pictures. Our very first guest on the show was Tegan Smith. She's a popular photographer, blogger photographer in Cape Town. And so from that show, I would say excellent pictures. Don't compromise on pictures because it can make your blog look proper legit from day one as opposed
to like... So say someone's starting a blog now. They obviously don't have money to go hire a professional photographer.
Mm.
Do you think... What is the best way to go about it? Do you just take on your iPhone and then try filter it as much as you can?
Look, I mean, okay... When I started, I did have a camera already, but then I was interested in like taking really nice photos, and then that's how the blogging thing happened. So if it's the other way around for you, I feel like there are so many newbie photographers out there that maybe that are so interested. They have like a really nice camera, but then they haven't, you know, maybe gone for one course or whatever, and they kind of just established. They're more than happy to take photos for you, and as long as you give them credit and say that this is taken by whatever photography, you know, just to kind of give them a bit of exposure as well. So that's a great way of going about it. But it depends also what type of platform. So if you don't actually have a website as yet and you're just doing microblogging, like if Instagram, you have gained like tons of followers suddenly because, you know, people really appreciate photos, then I would say iPhone is perfect for taking a photo.
I would agree with Mary on that. Like if you've got a really good phone, like the Samsung, the iPhone, my father-in-law got that new Huawei, whatever, the new one. It actually takes like pretty brilliant nice pictures. I was actually quite impressed. So if you have a good top of the range phone, it's more than good enough. And then also just use stock pictures off the internet. Just credit the site that you took the picture from.
Yeah. Aren't there even some sites you can get you don't have to credit?
Exactly, where you don't have to credit.
And royalty
just,
free.
Like get stock pictures just so that you get going and until you can save up enough money and do like one big shoot. Like that's what I did in the beginning. Like before I started my blog, I saved up and I did one shoot. I did 5 or 6 looks of like every like kind of pictures I could use in different scenarios. And I mean, I'm still using some of these pictures and some of the looks I haven't even touched yet.
Great photos though.
Thank you. But like, so that can save you a lot of money. So you can recycle certain pictures. You can like, you do one big shoot and that's your pictures for like a good 6, 7, 8 months. And then in that 6 or 7, 8 months, you save up again until you can take a big lot of stock pictures again.
That's a really good one.
Of things
that's
you
a
can.
Good one.
Yeah.
Out of interest, how much like do photographers charge?
It varies, eh? It really depends on who you use and how you can negotiate.
I worked with a photographer. He's quite a well-known one. And he does a lot of the model shoots and whatever. So his half day was about 5K.
What?
That's crazy.
He makes 5,000 rand
for 4 hours.
Oh my God. I'm guys, do you want me to take photos? I'll charge half that.
I mean, like, we took photos for actually my lash line. So he took all my photos for that. So that was pretty much half day work. And that included like, photoshopping it and all that stuff.
I guess the photoshopping part I can understand. Like that takes a lot.
Give you a little secret. They actually outsource their photoshopping.
Really?
Not joking. They outsource it to a lot of these. There's a lot of companies in India and Southeast Asia that literally specialize in photoshopping. You give them any photo, they come back literally the next day, boom, 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 photoshopped to exactly how you want it for dirt cheap. It's probably at a fraction of the price that you paying your photographer for the photos.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that, but I know my
photographer
does.
Because it takes really long.
My photographer does her own editing, and so does like the Cape Town one, Tegan. She does all her own editing. So I suppose the bigger photographers who have lots of work and they've got like hundreds of pictures to
edit.
Yeah,
and they don't have time.
They literally don't have the time, so they would have to outsource it. But I mean, if you know you're only giving somebody about 10 frames at the end of that, so you're only editing 10 pictures per person.
Yeah.
It's not a lot. You know, you could do it properly. So that would be my first do is good pictures.
It's crazy how you mentioned that photographer in Cape Town, Tegan, and then it like recalled in my brain how I watched somebody's Snapchat who also had a Tegan photographer who's probably the same.
It's probably the same.
Is it that Aisha Baker?
Yes. It's Aisha's official photographer.
What a small world, guys.
Yeah,
I think this industry is tiny.
What's your do?
My do is do be picky with about the brands that you work with. And I say that because it doesn't matter whether you just started and you're so desperate to work with any brand that comes your path, but do be picky because later on when you do stumble upon some brands that really do want to work with you because of what you've already blogged about, and then they see some of the other blogs where it's like not really their target market, they'll be like, hey, wait a minute, you're not really the kind of person I want to work with. So do be picky about it from the beginning. If you are... I'm going to give myself as an example because I can't speak for everyone else. But my target is I'm a luxury lifestyle blogger. So I'll blog like 5-star hotels and, you know, luxury game lodges and...
luxury products.
Luxury products, designer handbags and jewelry and watches, etc. So not to be mean to any other brands out there, but I'm not going to suddenly start working with
high street fashion label or like a chain store, like Edgar's is going to come to you. Oh, Mary, please come blog for us.
You'll or be some
like,
concentrated juice or something.
do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah. I completely get what you're saying.
No matter how much they offer you.
You've got to stick with who your audience is. And
Completely agree. Because can you imagine my credibility if Cartier comes to me and be like, hey, Mary, I would like to work with you. And then that person looked at me like, oh, I see you worked with Daniel Wellington. Then it's kind of like, oops, because they are competitors at the end of the day.
So you sort of want to keep on the market and the high end, then don't do anything below under high end.
Yeah, but it's also about integrity. Like for me again, like I got approached by a PR company a couple of days ago and they were like, listen, we'd like you to attend an event. So I said, well, tell me what brand it's involved with, because for no amount of money in the world will never see me at a Coca-Cola event, because they go against everything I stand for. Yes. They're not healthy.
That's
true. Responsible for a lot of people ending up with diabetes, addictions to Coca-Cola, like with massive sugar addictions. I cannot be seen anywhere near Coca-Cola. So if Coca-Cola had to say, listen, Iwata, we'll pay you 10,000 rand, come, or 20,000 rand, come on a cruise with us, because they have these extravagant events. I know they took people to Dubai or something.
I have Coca-Cola. No idea.
I saw Jen Su's stuff, social media stuff. And I mean, for all the money in the world for this amazing trip, I would have to say no, because it goes against what I believe. So you've got to, and even though people might go, oh, but your blog's only so young, you shouldn't be turning down things. But yeah, like Mary says, so tomorrow a health brand comes to me that I legit respect and I want to work with.
Yeah.
And then they see me having worked with Coca-Cola, they'll be like, this chick is not for real. You know, she goes wherever the money is.
Yeah. So don't be a blagger. Do be picky about the brands you work with.
Blegger. That's a bigger blogger.
Yes.
Don't be a blagger.
Was it Kevin?
Yes, Kevin.
Kevin's,
Kevin McClellan.
He was on the show last term. Yeah.
Blegger.
Yeah. So the other thing is we had Anne Dolinchek on from Magna Carta, very big, respected PR firm, and she spoke from a PR's point of view. And what she was saying is, just be nice to the PR people, like, you know, like within reason. Like, obviously, if you're not happy that you weren't invited to an event, tell them in a nice way, in a respectful way, that, you know, you don't appreciate the fact that you weren't invited and you're a little disappointed that you weren't, because you feel that brand aligned with your blog. But also work closely with them, because they can either get you into an event or they can blacklist you and you can never ever work with that brand ever again.
Yeah.
So it's very important to have a good relationship with a PR company.
Mm.
But also don't kiss their ass, you know, like don't write gushy articles.
Yes.
You know, where you like just fawning over this skincare product when, you know, it's actually not that great because you're so desperate to get into the good books of the PR person. Be fair, be nice. And be honest, but you don't have to be insulting also the brand. Don't trash it.
Where is the line between being honest but then insulting? Because what happens if you're friends with like a PR brand? Now you've tried out their product and this product has like dried out your face. You're now itching and scratching all night. But like you're best friends with the PR company.
Look, okay, that's actually happened to me before.
I think you just have to be honest still.
Yeah. So I feel like I've mentioned this before on the show, that as a beauty blogger, if you're going to be doing reviews, doesn't matter if it's beauty reviews, it could be food reviews, it could be any type of reviews. Number one, you shouldn't actually charge that PR company or that brand for giving you the product to try it out, because then you'll never be partial. Ever.
You'll never be impartial.
Oh, sorry. You'll never be impartial. Always be partial towards the product. So I always say that I don't want to trash a brand that I don't like, but if I try something else and it really didn't work for me, I will say very honestly, look, dried up my skin, my skin is quite sensitive to this product, didn't really work for me, but if you have oily skin, this is probably going to work for you because I do have dry skin.
But then where's the money at? If you're not going to charge them for the blog post, then it's like a free blog post.
Well, you see, okay, well, I don't know about your industry, Warder, so I'm just going to speak about
beauty and stuff. Fashion stuff.
So in terms of beauty stuff, because I'm more beauty than fashion. So in terms of beauty, for example, the money's at, well, number one, if you do YouTube videos, monetizing it.
Yeah.
And also in anything that's non-review related. So for example, like Urban Decay, Revlon, or, you know, Chanel or whatever, can be like, hey, would you mind, like, you know, we got this new lipstick and it's really great or whatever. Would you mind using it in one of your tutorials? And just talk about the color. That's where the money's at. And we'll pay you $300.
Yeah.
Like that. That's where the money's at.
And the thing is, yeah, and obviously with brands that you know doesn't affect your skin, and you know that's not a risk. Like if it's the first time you're using a product ever, then you might want to first check if it works for you. Like there are certain, there's actually a lot of supplements that just does not agree with my stomach. So if a supplement brand had to come to me and say, listen, what do we want you to use our product and, you know, see if it works, I would have to give them full disclosure and say, listen, I'm lactose intolerant. There are very few brands that work for me. So you know, I can't do it for you, but you know, if it doesn't work for me, that's what I'm going to tell my readers. I'm going to tell them that it didn't work for me. It made me bloated and X, Y, Z.
Will like brands ever ask for your stats on your website?
Yes. Yes. All the time. All
do you give it over or is that like
confidential? No, you give it.
Confidential.
You give it.
You give it. Yeah.
You give it.
You have to give it because that's also a sign of that you're serious and then you've got nothing to hide and that you're not lying. You're not fudging your numbers.
But won't they go tell other bloggers? Like,
no, I don't care.
Michael Flax has this blog, but he sent me the stats and there's only like two people that read it.
Well, you know what? You have to have a little bit of dignity and integrity in this game because the thing is, yeah, you might have – okay, so – You might have 10 people that's reading a blog or watching a YouTube video, but those are the 10 people that are interested in those products. You'd rather reach 10 people that are actually going to go buy the product after they watch your video than 1,000 people who are going to be like, oh, no way, I'm buying that stuff.
That's
the whole thing.
But however, that would translate into a shit ton of money for your kind of blog because 10 people buying 10 Chanel bags, that's a lot of money. I'd rather go for small.
Yeah,
How much is a Chanel bag?
It's like tens of thousands.
50K plus.
Good exactly. Lord. So imagine 10 people get influenced by Mary's blog. That's a lot of money for the Chanel store in Sandton City. Is there one in Sandton?
No, we don't have Chanel here in South Africa.
Isn't that in that diamond
Gucci,
walk?
Well, no, we don't have Chanel yet.
Well, okay, so let's say Gucci. So 10 people see Mary's blog on a Gucci bag and they all go and buy it. So that's like a lot of money. Yeah.
That I'm still trying to get over the fact that a Gucci bag costs 10,000 rand.
Tens of thousands. It's not 10,000.
Yeah. I don't think there is a Gucci bag for under 10 rand. Oh, a wallet. You can get a wallet for under 10,000.
So let's just quickly go through the don'ts.
Can I ask you guys? Yeah. This is probably way off what Blogger Diaries is.
Yes.
What is the most expensive handbag each of you own?
No, I don't. Mary owns more expensive handbags than me.
Oh, look. I mean, I do it because it's just something that I like. For me, it's like an investment. Some people like cars, some people like spending money on jewelry.
If
or
I had
houses.
The money, I would for sure buy like a more expensive designer bag. I mean, that's the plan. But I mean, I'm just not at the means right now, so I don't own a very expensive handbag.
I think for you, you'll probably spend more money on like gym clothes and like supplements and stuff.
Yeah, people die when they hear that I spend like 2,000 rand on a pair of tights. Like for me, it's like,
I went shopping for gym clothes. So expensive.
Gym clothes is expensive. Yeah. So I feel like it all depends like what you're interested in. I would say the most expensive handbag currently in my possession right now is about 40K.
Yo.
That's
in
a safe people.
Don't get any ideas.
I see it as an investment.
Because they appreciate in value.
That's the thing with those kind of bags.
You can sell that bag in a few years and like it could be limited edition.
Yeah, vintage.
While.
Yeah,
vintage.
I mean, look, people go for those. I mean, those truly real serious investors in these type of things will buy limited editions and they won't use it. Whereas for me, it's like I'll buy a classic piece and I intend on using it. So for me, the intention is using it and then hopefully never having to sell it because I'm broke. But like one day, if it comes to that, I'll sell all of it.
So let's just quickly run through the don'ts. I would say don't get too competitive with other bloggers. I think we can learn from one another. Like I'm friends with so many bloggers and I think, you know, they're the reason. Like, I mean, Kevin... Lloyd, as seen by Lloyd, Alan and Christian, I know so many bloggers. Anne has a blog herself. And I mean, I know all these bloggers and you. And I mean, I feel like you guys inspire me and you inspired me to start a blog. And also we learn so much from one another. And it's awesome. And we help each other out. And it's cool because we're all in different industries. And I mean, even the people that are in the same industry, like Cara's in the same industry as me. I think we've got a lot to learn from one another. Agreed. I think it's cool. I think we inspire one another. And yeah, don't get bitchy and mean with other bloggers. I mean, everyone stay in your lane, do your thing. Agreed. And it'll be cool. Like, cause you'll be surprised. Those bloggers can sometimes help you out in the end.
Yes.
Yeah. They can tell you where to get like cheap photographers or cheap.
Or hook you up. And the thing is also, if you're a new blogger, you want to be friends with other bloggers because you want them to connect you with the right PR people. And you only get that right if you have a cool relationship with them. Because I mean, there are new bloggers that have come on too strong or too aggressive. Yeah. And in the end, we kind of close ranks and be like, listen, this person, you know, they were rude. They were too pushy. Yeah. They're not getting any, you know, like getting out inside information or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah. So don't be competitive. I would say don't over Photoshop your photos.
Mm.
Like, I feel like that's quite important because it's so funny because, like, I remember this one girl came up to me and she's actually also a blogger, like 2-3 years ago when I first moved to Joburg. And she was like, hey, like, you love Mary Lou? And I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, oh, you look just like your photos. And I felt that was a really strange thing to say, like, in the beginning. But then now I really appreciate that because then
of course
I wouldn't want to overly Photoshop my photos so that people don't actually recognize me.
Mm.
You know, like, I think that the greatest extent that I do Photoshop my photos probably, like, make my face look smoother.
Mm.
But like I don't mess with, you know, how skinny or wide or tall, you know, that kind of stuff. I feel like that stuff is best left alone because you do want eventually people to recognize your face, you know. And especially as a blogger, I feel like because I'm quite a personal blogger, like because mine's like lifestyle, right? So it's all about like, hey, what I'm eating, what stuff I'm using, whatever. Yours is still more like
curated.
Like, yours is still more magazine vibes, like, you know what I mean?
That's the also the other thing I've learned, and it comes to the next point, is don't be too magazine-y. And I'm also still learning that. I'm reminding myself about that.
I like it that way. I like your blog that way, though.
But I also want to make things more in the first person because it is a blog at the end of the day, and it is a reflection of me. People want to hear what have to say. So if I'm going to say we the whole time on there, we at FabuFit, because there is now more than one of us that is blogging now there and whatever, and I'm getting more people writing, so it is an authentic we. But the thing is, I want some of them to be written from an I perspective because people want to know what Warta is doing because they know me and they've seen my other posts on Instagram and Twitter and they know my story, so they want to know what I'm doing. So that's important to keep that authenticity because that's the whole thing, that's the edge bloggers have over magazines, is that we're writing from a personal perspective, from an authenticity. So create something, and every single guest on this show up until now has said the same thing. Be yourself. Start from a point of honesty and what works for you. Don't try and be Mary. Don't try and be me. Don't try and be, you know, Aisha Baker. Don't try and be whomever, Zanita.com. Try and be you, but you can draw inspiration from everyone, but still look at who are you as Michael Flax. What is your interest? You like Pokemon, so start a Pokemon blog or whatever.
Pokemon and the Biebs.
And the Biebs.
Yeah, Justin Bieber.
And man buns, I see.
I really didn't know, like, so much thought and effort went into, like, making in a blog.
Yeah.
At the start of Blogger Diaries today, I, like, insulted you guys. I was like, you don't look too tired. Now I take that back. I would like to formally apologize to Mary Lou and Warda Hartley.
I want to not look tired, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why would I want to look tired?
That's the worst thing you can tell a woman. Don't ever tell a woman that, eh? FYI, Flax.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell a woman, you look tired, because
it's like indirectly saying you look shit.
Yes, that's code for you look shit today. Because bitchy women say that to other women when they want to try to be bitchy. They're like, hi, how are you? Oh, you look tired today. In other words, you look so cuck today.
Before we wrap up, I'm going to tell you guys the most embarrassing thing ever.
Oh, my God.
So, like, it must have been like 6 years ago. I thought, okay, I'm going to become a blogger.
I thought you were going to tell me some other embarrassing story that you told me earlier. I'm like, don't say it on radio. Oh, no. Don't say it.
Well, now I have to say it. Okay, I'm going to wrap up with that one after this one. So about 6 years ago, I created a blog. I thought, let me become a blogger. Like, that's the end thing. And I think I made one blog post, and it was about like some company taking over another company, like in a cool strategic way.
Yeah.
6 years ago. I think it was yesterday or the day before, I get an email. Hey, just read no your way. Blog. Just want to fix some of your like statistics and your stats and everything. This woman corrected me on everything. The entire blog post was wrong.
Well, like delete post now.
That's worst blogger
that
ever.
That is a brilliant point to bring up. If you're going to use, if you're going to talk about like factual information, like I have to check a lot of my stuff. Like if I talk about nutritional things,
yeah,
I need to make sure that I'm saying the right thing. So research your topics properly. Like, I mean, for you, it's very much opinion based.
Yeah,
but for me, it's like, you know, what portion sizes. It's very precise. You need to check with official sites and whatever. Yeah. So I was very happy when a dietitian that I'm going to be working with checked my all my nutritional stuff, and she said it's absolutely spot on. I was so relieved because I was scared she was going to come back and go, actually, what? a lot of the stuff you have is completely wrong. But yeah, research your stuff correctly if you're doing stuff that, you know, is facts-based.
Yeah, I think that was the last blog post I'll ever be doing. Blogging, it's so much effort. It's so much effort.
Okay, but like Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter is also a form of blogging. It's just
microblogging. Yeah.
Snap?
Do you want to say that? It's microblogging. Guys, where can we follow you at?
Fabufit.co.za, that's my blog. This week I blogged about, I actually went blank. I don't know what I blogged about. Shit.
Well, I guess now everyone has to
upload a truffle.
I'm going to be tomorrow. I'm uploading a recipe for my protein truffles. Oh, this week I blogged about, and this is probably the reason, about sleep.
Oh, yes. It was about sleep.
It does affect your brain if you don't get enough sleep. I went to bed again late. It was after 1. And I mean, I said in this blog post, I'm actively trying to go to bed earlier, but it's a bad, bad habit. So go and read that. If you think you're not getting enough sleep, this is what it's doing to your body. That's on the blog. Warta Hartley on Instagram, Warta_Hartley on Twitter, and Warta Hartley on Snapchat.
Yeah,
and Mary.
You definitely want to go follow Warta and Mary on Snapchat.
I'm just love Mary Lou all round. And yeah,
she's back on
again.
Snapchat.
I got my phone back. Well, I got a new phone, actually. They gave me a new one. But I'm so excited because I haven't actually snapped for like a week. People probably thought I'm dead.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't know what Buddy was doing. I didn't know what you were doing. Uh-huh. I didn't see Emek. It was
now
weird.
Now you have to actually WhatsApp me and be like, hey, you alive?
My favorite Asian family, I had like no, like I had to go back to Fox TV and watch Off the Boat because I couldn't see, you know, my real South African Asian
live.
Family. Yeah, exactly.
Remember, you can catch up on weekly blogger diaries on Kelman on Cliff Central. I'm Michael Flax. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.